Hello, everyone. Today's devotional comes from Galatians chapter 2. Again, that's Galatians chapter 2, and I'll read that for us. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." Amen. Here in the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul is reminding the Galatians of the gospel. Previously in chapter 1, Paul focused on how the gospel he teaches is not from man, but from God. And in today's passage, Paul reminds the Galatians of what this gospel is, which is summed up pretty nicely in verses 15 and 16, which says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." And this is where I want to focus today's devotional on. This is Christianity 101. Very simple, yet so foundational and crucial to understand. We are not justified by works, but by faith. Again, we are not justified by works, but by faith. There's absolutely nothing that we can do that can earn our justification before Almighty God, because we are sinful. We've rebelled against him, And what we rightfully deserve is the death sentence, to be utterly cut away from God for eternity. The only reason we can even approach our Heavenly Father is because Jesus clothes us with His righteousness when we have faith in Him. My hope for all of us is that we never, ever get tired of this truth. The fact that we are justified before God because of faith in Jesus' righteousness. The fact that we have become fully, completely reconciled with God through faith. The fact that we're able to spend eternity with God through faith. That is the single greatest news we could ever receive. To try to attempt to put this into perspective, just imagine for a moment that you won the lottery today. I don't really know how the lottery system works, but I looked up the total cash value of the current Powerball jackpot, and it's estimated right now at around $210 million. $210 million. I would imagine that if anyone received this kind of money, their life would be turned completely upside down, and that they'd be jumping up and down, unable to contain their excitement and utter joy for the completely new life they're about to live. But what's crazy is this. We, as Christians, have news that actually makes winning the lottery look like a participation award. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works. If justification was based on our works, we would be doomed to death. But praise God, we are justified by faith. Our eternity is secure. Life with God is now and imminent. All through faith in Jesus. That is news worthy of jumping up and down, unable to contain our excitement. Paul closes off this chapter with how he responds to this truth, that we're justified not by works but by faith. A very well-known verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and this is what he says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is the response. We've been bought by Christ. We are justified through faith in Him. So our lives are no longer our own, but Christ's. Our desires, our goals, our outlook on life are no longer the things that we live for, but Christ's. Christ's desires, Christ's goals, Christ's outlook on our lives. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Every time we're reminded of our reconciliation with God through Jesus, I hope that this is the response of our hearts. Jesus, it is no longer my life that I live, but You who lives in me. God, I don't want to live for myself any longer. I want to live for You. Let's ask God to strike our hearts with the gospel, and let's live for Him as Christ lives in us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this word. Thank You for reminding us that we are saved by faith. It is purely through Your Son, Jesus, that we're able to even pray to You like this. It is through Jesus that we can have eternal life with You. Thank You for Your Son. Lord, we want to relinquish to You any temptation to rely on our own works, to think highly of ourselves and what we do, or on the flip side, to think that we are utterly helpless if we can't perform well. You've already done the work through Jesus. So Lord, help us to have complete faith in the One who died for us. I pray that we would continue to respond to You with utter joy and excitement, to want to live our lives completely for You, a holy life set apart for Your works, just like how different tools and utensils were holy and set apart for the use and glory of the Lord in the Old Testament. We want to live our lives to be set apart for your works. It is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. So Lord, may we display a life that is wholly dedicated to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.